This is CliffCentral.com.
What is up? It is the Gas Comedy Podcast. It's us. Brr, boy. Are you there, Farhan?
I think I was going rah, and then I didn't hear it.
It was a waste of the rah. Rah. Never waste your rahs. Make sure you bank your rahs. Get some interest on your rahs. Welcome to the Gas Comedy Podcast, as usual, on Friday. It's Friday. And if you're listening to this live, you're probably wondering, shit, it's only the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, I'm going to get all ratchet on this bitch. I'm going to get my drink on.
But you know, people fuck around on a Friday.
I think you lose all momentum from about 11 a.m.
Assuming you were able to gain some momentum
in the morning. You don't give a shit about your boss.
Cape Town people already...
Or Karen. Cape Town
people... They're really going home now.
Cape Town people stopped work yesterday at 4. They don't... Oh, no, the weather's too good. Let's not do any banking. Let's and that's why economy's in the toilet. Yeah. Cape Town and Zuma.
I was actually talking about it on social media. I was saying, like, why wasn't Africa Day a public holiday in South Africa? Yeah. And then people were like, no, because we've got too many already. So I was like, that's cool, but let's reshuffle some of them. I mean, we call them public holidays, but have the public had any say in it? No,
exactly. We should vote.
We should have a turnout
day. And also, I think all religions should get their public holiday.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, like we get Christmas Day.
And then atheists as well,
right? Should get their public holidays. What public holidays do atheists have? Godless day.
Godless day.
Which is every day to an atheist.
Yeah. It's like having an ungodly hour.
Where they do Satanists should get their holidays.
Yeah.
You know, Satan worship day.
The 6th of June. 66. I
don't know. 6th of June, 6 minutes past six.
Did you ever watch Religious with Bill Maher?
Religious? What?
Religious.
Religious. Yeah, I think I did actually see that.
That's funny.
I
mean,
yeah, it is very.
But he had a very good point. A lot of atheists, why do they not get a say in things?
Because you aren't going anywhere when you die. Where are you going? You're just going to just blip into darkness like if DSTV goes off. Right. You can get hold of us at cliffcentral.com to download this podcast, cliffcentral.com. Or you can tweet us, cliffcentral.com on Twitter. That's no dot, just cliffcentral.com on Twitter. Where else, Farhan?
Well, Eric Janssen's not here, so I'll fill it all in. So if you want to check out Gas Comedy, go to the website, www.gascomedy.co.za. Follow us on Twitter, at Gas Comedy, or search for us on Facebook, Gas Comedy. What else? What does he normally say?
That he doesn't normally say anything of any
value
at
substance.
All. No, he's not here because he forgot.
Legit, that was his excuse.
That is what drugs will do to you, children.
Nyaupe.
Don't take nyaupe and start comedy.
Yeah.
Nyaupe. What are we going to do on the show today? We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, but we're going to concentrate on the roast last night.
You are looking a little bit tanned today.
A little bit? Yeah, tanned. It was a tanning. A brown guy won.
I called it.
Yeah, obviously anyone could. He's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the roast. The first official roast off of six that started last night, once a month. And we will also talk about some new comedy gig that you went to.
Yeah,
that
was cool last night.
At a shitty venue, but you made work.
Yes, we made it work against all odds.
That's great. Yeah. And then we got some comedy from some cat. What's
his name? Yeah, his name is Sammy Obaid.
Sammy Obaid.
Half Lebanese, half American.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's a shit.
And he's got an amazing story.
That is
story.
A dangerous combination.
No, he talks about it. It's fantastic.
That's fascinating. Okay, well, we'll get a big old clip of him just now. And what else? And we'll give you some comedy news, whatever we come across. It's great for you to be here with us. Thank you very much for listening, my loyal listeners.
Yeah, shout out to the usual ones. Simi,
are you out there?
Darren Asbury,
are you out there, Simi? You can send us some hate if you're out there.
Yeah, but just to Cliff Central, because Janssen's not here to monitor our accounts.
Yeah, do it at Cliff Central.
That's what he does. That's what he does on the show.
That's what Eric's useful for. He watches the social networks. Duncan's, he's not allowed to talk, though. He's got bronchitis or something.
Do you?
No, he just doesn't talk a lot.
Oh, okay.
He handles the buttons. We don't know. He handles the horn. That's his.
The one job, and then he wasn't doing it.
I know. He's gonna do it at some point. Just surprise us. Don't tell us when you do it.
Yeah, just pop it in.
So let's get the roast. the roast off.
So I think for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what this is, explain what a roast is, actually.
Okay, so the roast off, a roast, everyone knows what a roast is. I'm sure you've seen a roast, the roast of Justin Bieber, the roast of et cetera. And that is when there is one.
Steve Hoffmeyer
is locally. Kenny Kunene. There's one roast person that all comedians write towards roasting, right? So they all roast him. Right. Now, roast off is also a Jeff Ross. It's not original to him, but he was one of the men that turned it into an actual comedy club concept. And The Stand in New York City, the comedy club The Stand, is currently doing it and famous for doing underground roasts. And what a roast off is when a comedian roasts a comedian. So a comedian finds out who he's roasting, you know, a week ahead of the time, and then he writes for that comedian. And we,
or they get Christopher Stenkamp to write.
Exactly. Or someone gets someone else to write.
Shout out to Chris.
Shout out to good writers. Yeah. So what last night's was Comedy Central's first major production. And they put the most production into this concept anywhere in the world.
Right.
No one's done this. And Comedy Central Africa put all the production into doing South Africa's very own roast off competition. So how it works is there'll be six comedians. There will be three battles. One comedian battles one comedian. One comedian battles one comedian. One comedian battles one comedian. They do five lines each. So tit for tat.
Alternating, right?
Alternating. Yeah, yeah. And then we heard that, Duncan. He did this thing. And we do that after the show, not during. I do it to get up in the morning. And then you
white,
roast each
white
other.
Powder.
That's funny. And then you roast each other, and then the judges will decide who was best roaster. Once the three have been decided, they go into a little, you know, winner's pool, and then two of them go through. So a third one, which was the weaker one, gets basically just shoved to the side. Whereas last night it went a bit different, and then the two battle for the final, right. And the final winner.
Okay, so what happened last night? What was last night?
So last night was the first one. So the timing was a bit screwed, because there was supposed to be Evert van der Veer as judge and Kenny Kunene. Evert van der Veer is obviously Comedy Central Africa head of programming, head honcho, the top dog.
In Mexico, do they have a head poncho?
Everywhere else, they have a head waitress. Oh, thank you, lady. I just wanted a nice cold glass of water, but the head will be nice. And then Kenny Kunene, obviously, because he's been roasted, so I suppose.
So what, that makes him?
I don't know. I was completely like, oh, good. So you guys are experts in South African comedy. You guys should judge well. But so that was supposed to be the deal, but then we got phoned and emailed about a new judge.
Right.
A Mr.
Orlando?
Orlando Jones, who is a black American comedian / actor, more famous for some movie roles like, I don't know. He's been in movies. He sounds like it. Orlando Jones.
His face looks familiar.
No, yeah, he's been in a few things, and he's a funny cat, I suppose.
He wasn't the Fresca. No, that was another guy.
He looks like that dude. Anyway, so he was supposed to be judge, but he was on set, and they were like, "Oh, when he finishes, he's gonna come through and judge." And if you've ever been on a movie set or on a TV set, they never, ever end on time.
Right.
Ever. It never works that way, right? Never, ever works that way. So it was getting to, and so we got there, and we see on the thing, the production schedule, that we're going to start the roast at 5 to 10.
What?
5 to 10. Now, let me tell you about something. South African audiences they're not used to late night comedy yet.
I mean, we finished our gig around that time.
You could have come on. So that was the time that was on our schedule. Now that's Orlando Cat. We're getting to that time, and there was two comedy acts of 15 minutes each, and John Flism was doing like 20 minutes of like crowd roasting and shit. I didn't see that, but we were all prepping. So there was more comedy than there was roasting. There was more stand up than there was roasting, because the stand up the roasting is 5 minutes per roast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Did each of the acts get to do some stand up or not?
No. It was two opening acts. It was Prince, who was fantastic, and Alfred Adrian, who was fantastic. They both warmed up the crowd real great. And then John did some crowd roasting where you bring up people from the audience and you roast them on the spot, which I don't know how it went down. I didn't see that part. So then it gets on to the roasting, and this Alex dude, what's his name?
Kenny.
No, the other one.
Orlando
Jones hasn't showed at all. So then they're like, David Carr's here. Just get David Carr to be the judge. So he goes and be judge. Now, the problem I have with the whole scenario is, the problem I have with a lot of South African comedy is people just wing it. Now, if you're good at winging it, so be it.
You're very good at winging it.
Thank you.
I think your whole thing is built around winging it.
But the rare thing about winging it is you actually have to practice winging it.
Right.
You have to do it over a few years before you actually become good at it. And some people just wing it, like, because they're treating this as a sideline hobby, or they have other stuff on, yeah, or they have too many shit going, and they don't put the due diligence that is required to be good at this. And that's, last night, I think, was a little bit of a showcase of that. A little bit of, and from everyone's point of view, Comedy Central, the production company, the comedians, everyone was like, but nah, also you have to give it to them. It was the first one.
No doubt.
First one. So it was, and also the first one in Africa. Do you know what I mean? Apart from the one we did at the Comedy Central Festival at the end of last year.
So we're not counting the roast that took place in Durban last year?
No. These not the official sanction.
Okay.
They need to be officially sanctioned by the
well, those ones
the
were
godly Comedy Central logo.
Oh, okay. Because they were sanctioned last year's ones, but that was by Kings Velletini.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to. Weren't those just called the ANC?
No, that was just called Xenophobia.
I knew you were getting somewhere with it.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah.
It was good. But the audiences were tired by the time we got to do them. You know what I mean? By the time we got to roast. And now but don't get me wrong, they were fire. The audience were large. They when we dropped lines, they were loud.
Because clearly they came for that, you know.
Exactly.
I mean?
Which is what bums me out a little bit about production. Is like, that's what they came for. Don't throw all this other shit at them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's why I find it odd. I mean,
don't get me wrong, half an hour, you know, to pay that much to come all that way and get into the club, et cetera, for half an hour would have been shit. And so there needed to be some comedy before it. But you needed to start that stuff earlier. They needed to be there earlier so that they were fresh and on point. And just the right amount of alcohol in their systems to really get the benefit of something like that.
Because there's that tipping point.
There is a tipsy point. Yeah, where they're like, we're having a good time. Blah, blah, blah. So the whole scenario was, it was good. We enjoyed the process, et cetera, but there were just some faux pas that they're probably going to fix. They're definitely going to fix in the second one. Second, third, fourth, and fifth. So how it's going to work in terms of going forward,
right,
is there's going to be six of them. So this was one of six. So we've been told things may change.
Right.
One of six. Five of them will lead up to the final, which will be later in the year. And the final will be actually hosted by Mr. Jeffrey Ross, which is incredible to have the founder, if you will, of this
the
format.
Roast Master General.
The Roast Master General. He'll be back in the country to host the final one. Now, little known fact, well, it's not going to be a little known anymore, depending on the seven people who download this podcast. I was supposed to be the host of the roast, but the news is out there, so I might as well think, but I'm going to Australia. I'm going to Australia for a few years to do comedy. You know this, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the seven listeners don't know. And
plug your tour, by the way. So because you're leaving,
we're
not going to see you for a while.
I am doing a couple of farewell shows. I'll tell you at the end of the show, because I want all seven of you there.
Yeah.
And so this is going to go to six roasts. So the winner last night, and although it was a mess up and there were problems during the whole thing, completely deserved winner was Dylan Oliphant. Absolutely crushed.
That's
it.
We go. Bah, 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 bah,
yeah, you should have done it there, but I don't know. He's texting. There was a lot. There was papa papa there.
No, mum, I'm working right now. Come on, mum.
I'm texting. I'm not sexting. My teacher won't answer back.
Okay, but you just went straight to the end. So, like, what happened in the various rounds? So you appeared.
I was up against Dylan in a preliminary round. Nina Hastie was up against
John Flitress.
Chris Florist.
Florist.
Chris Forrest.
Forrest.
Preliminary.
Who, by the way, let's just plug, he's got a one man show coming up 31st of May. So something very late.
Where
in
is
June.
It? At the Auto General?
Yes. It's in Santon, I think.
Yes, at the Auto General.
Called Who's Your Daddy?
Yep. It's a, I think it's a continuation of his last year's run.
Yeah.
And then it was Moma Tebe versus Ngoba.
Ngoba.
Yes. Yeah. And so they were up first. Then it was then me and Dill, and then Nina and Forrest.
So where was John in that?
John was the host.
Okay, right.
John was the second choice host.
Okay.
Second choice. And so they were Mo and Oba went at it first. Great round.
You did that thing with your finger
through the hole. Oh. Yeah, that's what a roast. That's the international roast sign.
Same.
That's what happens. And well, that's a spit roast.
So it's finger, open hand, then squirty.
Yes, then squirty, because that's the finale.
Aubergine.
So they went at it. Had a great roast. Momotebe came. If he's listening, he'll know what I mean.
Because his name was butchered on the Durban.
Yes, it's butchered all the time. And he should actually just change his stage name.
I was thinking, is it too diva-ish to refuse to do a gig unless they correct your name on the poster?
That's super diva-ish. Okay. What are you? I mean, what is your job? Is your job to have the correct name or make people laugh?
Yeah, fair enough.
Shit, you need to go and do comedy.
Stop. I see you shitting poor Yasin Barnes because he's got double A, double E. His name gets butchered.
Same as Durban comic Masood Boomgaard. There's like double S's, double O's, double A's.
Oh, shame, man.
Oh, he's hardcore.
So Mo came out top there.
Did well. Did really, really well.
Do you remember any of their stuff?
Like, it was just fat jokes against Ngoba, which was totally
fine. What did Ngoba say to him?
Coconut jokes, moral C. You know, do you need a protein shake? You're a diva when you don't have a protein shake. I don't think you said that, but that's funny.
Yeah, that is
funny. So... it was great. It was great roast, but it was definitely new.
Okay.
Like me and Dylan were the most experienced roasters, and you could see that a mile away.
Yeah.
And when I say most experienced, I only mean one other roast. So this is our second roast.
I feel like if you guys would almost be for me, the final, like the ultimate final.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If Comedy Central was smart, they wouldn't have done draws. Yeah. Like that, because I think the draw system's a bit stupid.
Yeah.
There needs to be someone back there that knows what roasting is and put up roasters against roasters. Do you know
the roaster roster? You know,
yes, on a proper roaster roster. That's perfect, right? And they didn't do that. They put two good guys up against each other, and that means you're gonna. But at the same time, I mean, it's like a soccer league.
I suspect they wanted to almost make it seem as though you had a fair shot because you're leaving to Australia. Then what happened if you had?
Well, this is the thing.
I mean?
This is the thing.
Were you gonna come back?
Dylan deserves to be the winner there, but it would have been much better if we roasted in the final type of thing against each other.
So what were some of the funniest things that he said?
He said against me, he did some incest stuff, which was so funny. He's like, something about, because you're in the roast and you don't sort of remember. He was said something about, like, I've met Dusty's parents. I know Dusty quite well. He's a good friend of mine, so I know how his parents met. And it just proves to you that incest works or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, you know what I mean? Family with benefits. Which is hilarious. Yeah. That is such a great line. And then his last joke was, Dusty looks like a retarded Jim Carrey or a Jim Carrey on drugs.
That's
or something like
so
that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, what was it? It was a fucking much better line. So, I mean, Jim Carrey on something or other. And then he said, the only difference is we wish he would wear a mask. You know what I mean?
I got to be honest. The first time I ever saw you perform many years back, you flew up from Durban. You did the Comedy Underground in Melville.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this guy's hilarious. I guess heroin makes you funny.
Yeah. Everyone always assumes I'm on drugs. And most of the time I am. I smash Panado like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I feel like maybe your brain is like misfunctioning. I stopped doing
drugs.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly in that state anyway.
Yeah, I feel drugs would make you feel normal.
It was a waste of money. It was literally, I didn't stop doing drugs because I have any noble intentions. I stopped doing drugs because it turned out to be a waste of money. I am drugs.
I am drugs. I like that.
That's Salvador Dali, actually.
That's right.
Salvador
nice.
Dali says, I don't do drugs.
Okay, so then what did you roast Dylan with? That you should remember.
I remember every single line. I wrote 25 lines.
Okay.
And chose my 5 favorite lines, which I didn't get to do, which is another fuck up. I only got to do 4 lines.
Why?
Still got to do 5. And this is what I'm saying, is the process. You must tell the comics from going forward, this is the format, and the format will not change.
Yes.
So prepare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I had a final line that was fire, but I couldn't do it because... And it also came with the prop. is my last line, because you know Dylan does that Sasko Sam stuff.
Do it now, because you didn't get to do it then.
Well, it's a simple thing of going, Dylan Oliphant says that Chris Rock is his comedy idol, and Chris Rock was the reason he got into stand-up comedy. But the way Dylan puts audiences to sleep, I thought his comedy idol was Bill Cosby. And then I say, Dylan Oliphant, everybody, you just got schooled. Have some Sasko Sam. And then someone throws me a loaf of Sasko bread.
That's funny.
Because that's Dylan's famous gag.
Sasko Sam.
I didn't know I was in a government school till Sasko Sam came to visit. Yeah. And he does that.
And then
he
calls back at the church. Yeah.
Exactly. So it would have been
fire.
We
too excited about bread.
Yeah. So, and I was going to say, yeah, be roasted. You've been toasted. Anyway, it was a whole stupid thing. And I didn't get to do that fifth line because the lines were fucking, they were great. We both had amazing lines, and we're both by far. And I love Nina and Chris, and I love Norba and Mo Matebe, but we crushed them. Our roast was fire. Consequently, Chris's roast with Chris beat Nina.
Okay.
Chris won, Mo won, and Dylan won, and then they were in that winner's circle.
So wait, we didn't talk about Chris and Nina. So obviously Chris is and Nina, dad is a bit large.
Yeah, Chris and Nina, Nina's incredibly funny.
Yeah.
She's a funny, funny comic. But she's hardcore, and she's to the point, and she doesn't pull punches. But I don't know if the format suits her, because it didn't suit her last night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But she's an incredibly funny comic, and I think that's what's going to happen with these roasting things. You're going to see people who have an affinity for roasting, and you're going to see people who
it's slightly different.
And it is a different art form, but like, I don't know, we should, it's the same thing as me. You know, I struggle with media stuff, with PR stuff, because I can't stand them. You know, I can't stand the people that are involved in that. Whereas Nina crushes at that.
Yeah.
She absolutely crushes at, she's got such a bold, beautiful personality for PR and for getting out there and type of thing and doing those shows. She did a very funny VW, something where they're all in a car, a bunch of artists in a car, and she was driving the car. Very, very funny thing. I checked it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, but it was just, she had a tough time out there. She had a tough time out there.
So did she make fun about Chris about being overweight?
Yeah. But she was a little bit ami-ari. And
what does that mean?
And when you are in a roast, it's kind of like a rap battle.
Yeah.
Don't for 1 second mess up.
Yeah.
Don't stutter.
Don't show any weakness.
The comedian will jump on your ass and
then what did he
you.
Do to her?
And he just slut shaming, which is perfect.
Yeah.
No, listen.
Yeah.
When you're going to do a roast, all comics listening to this, don't be smart. That's not what roasting is about. If you have a smart joke that settles on something face value, that's when you're going to win.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? If the dude's fat, do fat jokes. Do smart fat jokes, but do fat jokes.
Well, actually, your big topper with the Sasko Sam, unless people actually knew what
that
Dylan...
one, yeah, but that's why I did a Bill Cosby joke, so I'd get the laugh.
So you get that and then...
Then I'd fuck Dylan personally. You know what I mean? That's why. My strat was, that's how you should write roasts. Any people? Because I like roasts, and I consider myself a little bit of a South African expert on them because I love them so much, and I do my research. And what I did, and Dylan did in the final, which is super clever, was to assimilate that. Was I would thank someone by dissing them. Then you a rebuttal on their roast. So say some shit about what they just said, and then fuck them on my prepared line.
Right.
So that's three, and that's totally legal. That's legal in roasting to do. Like some of the rebuttals, the thank yous I did for Dylan was, he would do the line, get a huge laugh, wait for the laugh to die down, and then it'd be like, thank you, Down Syndrome Trevor Noah.
Nice.
And then the audience would shit themselves because I did a couple of those thank yous after each time he dissed me. So it gives you that it almost like,
a pop.
It pops his line type of thing. It pops his inflation.
You're using his thing to top it. Like you're topping his thing
exactly.
with his own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very, very funny. And then Dill did that against Chris. He thanked him, which none of them were doing. And that's what I'm glad about. There were a ton of comics watching, and they were like, that's how you do it. That's how you do the road. Because that's how you, which I'm so glad about, because we were the benchmark and there was a lot of fuck ups, but it's going to get better.
Yeah.
It's going to be by the 6-1, we're going to be flying. We're gonna know.
We'll talk about it later. But
this is going to be a very, very cool South African initiative that's going to definitely turn seasonal. There'll be seasons of this stuff. And Dylan, when he did that Chris roast, and Chris brought fire. in that final round.
Because you smashed him at the previous one last year at the festival.
He was funny. He's definitely a roaster.
Yeah, but you smashed him. I'm telling you, sitting in the audience.
Yeah. I would say right now, in terms of South African comedy, and there's only been two roasts on South African soil, sanctioned. Chris Forrest, myself, and Dylan are the roasters.
John
could definitely do it. John, but he's going to be.
But that's so interesting because Dylan and Chris are typically one-liners, and I say that loosely, but they are.
Yeah.
And yourself, you're very
storyteller,
off the cuff.
Yeah. Long-winded,
loose cannon.
Who knows what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
So it is a one-man, is a one-liner comics game,
right?
And also colored people. I mean, colored people just have a fucking. They have an absolute.
They've been having it.
They've been roasting for years, dude. Yeah. So colored comics and some Vanak colleagues like Skumba and and also I would like to see some Vanak on Vanak roasting. Do you know what I mean? We're going to need the subtitles on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
But like with a good audience. With a good audience and they smash lines like that. And if you're white and you don't speak the language, well, then you should speak the language.
You know what would be funny is they do it in Vanak and then obviously the line drops and it kills and then you have a guy going, he basically said your mama.
A little guy in a yellow square telling us the English version of it. But I think that's going to be sick if there was some Vanak guys to get on that whole roasting thing. There have been 36 comedians that have been chosen already, apparently. Yeah. There might be some fallouts, etc. Because I'm going to Australia and I couldn't accept a host job, Deep Fried Man actually dropped out of this first one for me so that I could roast and just be a part of it. Obviously I won't be here for even the second one.
Right.
Which is very, very cool, which I respect that. But Deep Fried Man will be in there as well. I don't know if he'll be with his guitar. Which would be imagine Deep Fry could roast.
I would see why he couldn't. I don't understand why he wouldn't be able to. I mean, like,
yes, that's actually a unique dynamic that I've never seen before in roasting, and he would kill it there. So the roasts are incredible. Dylan Oliphant. One of the problems I had was the voting system. Now the judges were supposed to vote. Now I agree with one celebrity judge. Let's get one celebrity judge there and so that I can up the profile or whatever the fuck they want to do from a PR perspective. And then let's get one comedy judge that knows comedy. That's what was nice about last night when it ended up being David.
Yeah.
David knows comedy and Kenny Kunene is the profile. Do you know what I mean? He was the I was going to do a joke with Ngoba. Give it up for the black Eric Cartman. Oh my God, they killed Kenny. If only.
That's good.
I wasn't against. I had so many fire lines. You want to hear one for Nina?
Sure.
Oh, I'm so good. I love her, and obviously I don't.
Nina, you're not black.
This is not.
Say it in so.
These roasts, like, and that's the point of roasting. If you are gonna do a roaster as a comedian out there listening, you're not roasting to fucking be cool and be mean to someone. That's not the job. The job is to make people laugh. So that's how you roast. You don't roast someone personally or anything like that. That's not what you mean.
Kids.
So like Nina's a female. So what would we say about female? We'd diss their vaginas and stuff like that. That's how it works. That's how comedy works. You know what I mean? Whatever's a female dissing a male, that you would do the opposite.
Can I just say, so I went to the roast of Kenny Kunene.
Yeah.
And it was long. It started at 8:30, only ended up at like 11:30. So they're 3 hours.
Yeah.
Some of the lines they cut, I don't know if they showed it, where they were talking about, there was one of the ladies there and they were saying, her vagina is so big, I don't know if they've looked, but they'll probably find the missing Malaysia.
My line was, Nina Hasty got a body like Anglo Platinum. Who knows how many black men have died and been lost in those tunnels?
Oh my gosh, that's blazing.
Another line was, Nina Hasty likes black men so much, she's starting her own hashtag called hashtag fill up my dome. But there's not enough black men.
But that's a good point. Like
South Africa.
So strategically, if you're a smart comedian going into this, you don't just write lines against who you're competing with immediately.
Right.
You've got to write for everyone on that line.
But like, and that's what I said, right? Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, because you'll be roasting
one of them. You'll be roasting one of them. So you have to write, you literally have to write at least 50 lines. At least.
What would you roast me? What would you say?
Oh, I don't know. Probably obscurity, not being known as well.
Okay, sure.
That's what I would have done for Mo Mateba. I was going to be like, Mo Mateba, who is that? Like, I don't even know. I don't even know who Mo Mateba is. Mo Mateba is about as unknown as Matric and Limpopo.
Textbooks in Limpopo.
I was going to say, Mo Mateba is the EFF of comedy. You are not recognized in this house.
Oh, snap.
Mo Mateba's career Momotepa's career is going down faster than 21 schools in Limpopo.
Ooh.
So I was just gonna hit those lines, etc., etc. But that's what they are. You write the lines for the diss. Dylan. I mean, he's a funny comic, but he's not exactly a model. Do you know what I mean? So I smashed him on looks. Yeah. I smashed him on one of my lines. I thought was hilarious, but it didn't get the response I wanted to. But I don't know if I said it properly, but it was Dylan Oliphant doesn't get through two sentences without mentioning he's from El Dorado Park, which is ironic because most of the people in El Dorado Park all have two sentences.
Oh shit, that's very good.
I think you'd stab for that. But you know what I mean? That's like that was perfectly timed. Thank you, Duncan. So when you do write for the roast, etc., etc., the future, that's what you got to do. Write generic, write a generic joke, etc., etc., but then apply it to the person. Do you know
that
what I mean?
Seems very much like fat people.
And the audiences don't like, you don't want to go in there and go like one time Chris did a stupid line where he was like, I've seen Nina die at this one gig. Like, the audience weren't there. The audience at home weren't there. Like, that doesn't matter. Yeah. We don't, you know what I mean? You got to hit lines, et cetera, et cetera. But saying that Chris came, like, when they were in the winner's circle, Chris, they had to do one line each, which is another problem I have, is because you need to tell comedians that. You need to tell comics, listen, I know comedians are supposed to be funny all the time, blah, blah, bullshit. And if you are a great comedian, you can do that. But that for a TV format, you must be structured. Mm-hmm. For instance, it was judging vote for Metebe and Oba, judging vote.
Yeah.
My one, audience vote. That's a sudden random. And then back to judging vote. It's like, you can't do that. It must
consistent,
be structured.
Yeah.
And the thing was, so I got four lines, Dylan got five. What's the name got five lines? It was all askew. Who knows how many? Nina and them, the lines were very skewed. We didn't know how many got out there. And then finally, at the end, you know, they were using their discretion. I'm like, it's not your discretion. Tell us the procedure. Tell us the structure. And then we can write for that.
Yeah.
And it can be funny for audiences there and at home. Well, that's the whole point.
We should definitely share this podcast with Comedy Central. So
if they're smart, then they'll definitely listen to this, and I'm sure they pick it up. I'm sure they'll, you know, listen.
Because I noticed the last one last year with Jeff Ross, he's very aware and cognizant. I mean,
he knows the structure,
and then he'll actually jump in and be like, whoa, and then, you know, like,
he actually says, and I mean, I don't know why they haven't watched The Stand in New York City, but he will actually say, last joke. In underground roasting, this is how the format. They have tit for tat, five lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have 30 seconds. So you go, you speak for 30 seconds. Nee na 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 for 30 seconds. And then the other person has 30 seconds. Then it goes back to, if required, so unless it's been a whitewash, as in win both
clearly,
things. Then it goes to a third round, a third battle where it's tit for tat again.
Oh snap!
That's so cool because it gives audience time to think. The judges get a comment in, and they decide who wins each round. And I love that format. I understand that that's a bit difficult to do six comedians in that time, because that's a time problem. But if you are going to do the structure, stick to the structure completely so a comedian can be prepared. The three of them went into a winner's circle, and then John decides, oh, now you guys got to do one line against each other. And they weren't, you're not prepped for that. I know they had their lines, but maybe they only wrote five fire lines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a problem, but it's going to become amazing. We were the benchmark, we were the guinea pigs, and it was fire. So I mean, by the end of this, it's going to be amazing.
So they recorded it, right? And they're going to be cutting
it
up.
It's going to be coming out in June sometime.
Okay, great.
June sometime. On the billboard, it says 13th of June, but I don't know if that's going to hit. Right, we are going to go to a little bit of an ad break right now. We will be back right after this noise.
CliffCentral.com.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleeper, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleep Out on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleep Out on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Keeping it real on cliffcentral.com.
Thanks, Gareth. He just popped in to do that live read. He's not here. We are running the station today. What do you want to listen to? You can get in touch with us and we'll play whatever you want to listen. You want to listen to 7 or 8 minutes of orgasms. We'll give you that.
No, actually, that's coming
next. That's coming up next. John Z will be doing that next show. We are waiting for a caller. Someone's trying to get on the line with one of our comedians, and it doesn't seem to be working right now.
Yeah, getting them at this time of the morning.
Yeah, ain't trying to phone a comedian at 9:30. That ain't working. So we are going to go. We're going to go straight to the comedy clip.
Comedy clip. Sammy Obeid. This was from when he did his 5 minutes on Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And this was after he did. We'll talk about it after. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, Duncan, you're going to put that through? Here it comes.
All right. You guys good? So I'm Sammy. A little bit about me. I'm mixed. I'm a mix. My dad's a man, mom's a woman. So half man, half woman. So you know the stereotypes. I hate asking for directions, but I get lost all the time. I'm actually half Lebanese American. Thank you. Come on. Ladies, yeah, you know what they say about Lebanese guys? Nothing. Okay, all right. And then I'm half Palestinian, so I'm in the news all the time, kind of famous. Crazy, because I'm Palestinian, my roommate is Jewish, so we're always fighting over where his room starts and mine ends. He pays more rent, but I've been there longer. We look the same, but I'm not really religious. I don't believe in heaven and hell because hot air rises, so it should be the other way around. And I believe that God is a woman, so I don't say amen. I say that's what she said, you know. I'm an open-minded guy. I'm from San Francisco. I'm a big supporter of gay rights just through my friend Kyle, a coming out party. It was a surprise party. Someone had to tell him, you know. Surprise, what, you're gay, bro. We knew it. You know? We popped out of a closet to be ironic. But they recently discovered the gay gene. Wranglers, extra small. These are all jokes, guys. Come on. Come on. I'm not really a man's man myself, though. It's embarrassing. Like last week, I got a flat tire right next to a homeless man, so I was looking at him for help. For once, it was like opposite world. He's like, spare change. I'm like, change spare? I'm trying to drive less, though. My friend's an environmentalist. He's always complaining. He's like, the polar bears have feelings, too. The polar bears are just like people. When the ice caps melt, where are the polar bears gonna go? I'm like, come on, if bears are just like people, I'm sure the polar bears will be okay, right? Well, no, because I figure they'll just take land from the grizzly bears, have the black bears do all the work, and... and have the panda bears build them railroads. So I think they'll be okay, you know. So, thank you. So. That's not racist, it's just it's a bear joke, so there's no bear, it's hypothetical. Bears make a country, call it America. We could like elect a half polar, half black bear president. Oberma, right guys, come on. Send the koala bears to Australia and the gummy bears to San Francisco. It's still a bear joke. So. I actually used to teach American history to kids from the inner city, so I had to come up with analogies, gangster analogies, to relate the material. Like we were doing American history of the 1900s. I was like, all right, the 1900s, right? Imagine you're at a party. You got your French homie and your British homie, right? And then a German dude comes up, starts picking on your homies. You're like, what the hell? So you knock the German dude out, pop, and the whole party's like, damn. Now the party stops serving alcohol, your weed gets all dry, you put all your money on the dice games and the dice games crash. Like, oh, hell no, depression. And then... the German dude comes back, he starts picking on your Jewish homie. You're like, what the hell? But then you get socked in the back of the head by a Japanese dude. Oh, shoot, what's going on? You take out the German dude and the Japanese dude. Pop, pop. The whole party's like, damn. Now you see two Korean twin brothers fighting, right? One's in red, one's in blue. You help out the one in blue because you're a Crip. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, shoot, I'm going to go holler at this Vietnamese Ho Chi Minh, right? That's her name, Chi Minh. She's a hoe. You're like, what's up, Ho Chi Minh? You looking good, girl. She splashes the orange soda back in your face. Meanwhile, across the party, there's a Russian dude straight staring you down, really cold. The Russian dude's like, what? You're like, what? And nothing ever happens. And then... There's an Iraqi dude burning up the rug. You chase him out the party. He disappears for 10 years. You give your Somalian homie a sandwich. You hook up with a girl named Monica in the bathroom. The party's like, damn. You're like, my bad. And that's the 1900s right there. That's all it is. Thank you so much. I'm Sammy Obeyed, eh?
That is funny. That is very, very funny. I wish we had late night shows like that, that we could do that on. Here in South Africa. Actually, fuck it. I'm just going to go do it there.
Well, there was Bantu where they had comedians on. But I mean,
yeah,
I get what you mean.
It's not the same thing.
So wait, before we go on. So the cool story with Sammy Obeyed was he did a thing where he did 1,000 days of comedy. Like, yo, straight.
It's consecutive days of comedy. Days didn't of comedy. Get sick.
No, I don't. Well, even if he was sick.
1,000 days, that's like 2 years. 3 years.
Yeah, almost 3 years.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn. Damn. Damn.
And I think he went on Conan at the end of that, so that was where that came from.
Damn, that's cool. That was his final. Yeah, yeah. And then he took, what, a day's break and then went back to it?
Actually, I wonder. It's probably just like...
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go through our caller now. Duncan, can you get him up? Is he there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what is up? This is Jem Atkins from Durban.
On Fire Comedy.
On Fire Comedy, Jem Atkins.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my best friends, actually. So, this is...
Does he know that?
I actually just wanted to phone you and tell you, listen, can I stay at your place when I...
Yeah, you can, bro. No problem.
This is the Gas Comedy Podcast where we talk about comedy here and there. And it's time for some comedy about there. I want to know, you're obviously doing some epic things down in Durban for comedy. We started comedy together and there was nothing bowed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So we did start together.
So hey, nothing.
And we built a little bit of comedy scene, but then you've gone on to absolutely explode it up and make it the most incredible thing.
Yeah.
And it is
you left me for another guy. You're the next Trevor Noah.
Yeah, he pays better. So now you have basically put together what is becoming a little bit famous in the South African comedy scene, the Durban Comedy Week.
That's right.
And that starts when?
That starts tomorrow night, actually.
Yeah.
And we have shows throughout Durban at different venues, like tomorrow night in Umhlanga, and Sunday night we got a big show at the Pumpkin Theatre in Soweto. And then the following week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, we're in Hillcrest. And Wednesday is Amsterdam Comedy Club in Glenwood. And Thursday is New York Comedy Club in Morningside. And Friday is just chill and have a beer and not think about comedy for a while.
It's damn straight. I love how all Durban comedy venues are named after places that are outside.
I know.
New York City, Mozambique. Yeah. Umhlanga,
Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's almost like we want to move out of Durban.
I didn't say anything. I already moved.
Yeah. Can I tell you who you got down this week?
Who have you got down? We got
some great acts, man. We got Glenn Biederman Pam.
Yeah.
Deep Fried Man headlining this weekend.
Yeah.
Because you know he's doing his big
one-man show.
We got Robbie Collins flying in on Monday for the rest of the week. We got Richelieu Benoit.
Yeah.
We got Neil Green.
Sheesh, Durban.
We got Trevor Noah.
Okay, oh, that was funny.
We don't have Neil.
That was funny, by the way, for April Fools, where you did that poster with Trevor Noah, Jimmy Carr, and who was the other one? Russell
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And people actually believed, like...
I had a guy phone me. His name is actually Jeremy. And he's like, hey, Jim. And I was like, hey, Jim. He's like, dude, listen, I'm at work. I need 8 tickets, bro. I need them today. And I just started laughing. I was like, Jim, it's not real. It's a joke. And he goes quiet. He goes, oh, dude, my boss is going to kill me.
No, bro, that's when you're like...
That guy should have been fired for incompetence anyway.
No, that's when you say, tell him, here's my bank details, do the transfer. And then you get the money. And then you're like, sorry, Jim,
it was a joke. I paid my rent with it. Psych. That's amazing. You're getting some big acts. You last Durban Comedy Week, you had John Flismas.
We did, man.
And the week before that, you had Louis Segola.
That is right.
How are you going to top yourself, man?
That's what's working. We get some big names in, and the shows sell out, and it's really great for the Durban act.
It is very cool because big acts only go down to Durban to do these big ass shows at the theaters, etc., etc., and you can't really see them in the clubs for the club money. You know what I mean? Like a club entrance versus a theater entrance is a big difference.
Yeah, so that's making it more accessible. Now we're facing, come to Durban, have a bit of a holiday for like 5-6 days, do a nice club gig every night.
Yeah,
make a bit of cash and, you know, grow your fan base.
That's fantastic, Jem. You are doing wonderful things for South African comedy. Are you
keep hard work paying off, bro? It's only been 5 years.
That's it, but that's how long, you know, roses have thorns. You got to get through. Yes. I don't know what that analogy means at all.
Something like that. A bird in the hand. Bro.
A bird in the hand is worth porridge, early bird.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yes, something like that. So what you got to do, Jem, is you got to keep doing it, and I believe how we can help that is in the Comics Choice Awards this year, you have been nominated as Best Friend of Comedy on Fire.
I haven't been nominated yet.
Oh, it's in the nominations section
now. He's
put himself up for nomination.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get, we're trying to get nominated. We have to make the top 5 out of about 20 possible.
And then is that through texting?
That's through the comics voting for us.
The comics. Jesus, no, but then why did you? Jesus, why is it? I saw that you said if you like us,
that's for audience choice.
Oh, audience choice. Okay,
but no. If I said to the comics, I said if you the comedians, all the comedians
late
you work with, if you like us, give us a vote. You know?
I've already voted.
And Jem, it's not just you; it's you and your partner in crime, not your actual partner.
That's right. It's me and my partner in crime, Jess Knopf. Say hi, Jess.
Oh, it's Jess there.
Hi,
Jess.
Yeah.
Hello, Jessica.
Listening quietly, making sure I don't make a tit of myself.
So for those that don't know what Jess looks like, if you watch Game of Thrones, there's that red queen. Jess looks like that.
The red woman.
That's the one.
The red woman. Just don't take off your necklace.
Yeah.
I was about to say, just to be clear, it's not when she's all wrinkly and old.
Of course not.
Don't take off your necklace. Of course not. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing really good work down in Durban. Carry on. And at this rate, you guys will be the bigger industry in South Africa in no time.
Yeah, big things in the pipeline.
Because Joburg's dying. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I doubt that.
No, it isn't. It's suffocating under its own weight. Yeah. Shout out to Ngoba. right. Go have a great day, and I will actually see you. I'm down there. On Fire is putting up one of my farewell shows on the 15th.
Lovely.
But we'll talk more about that later. Thank you very much, Jem. I'll phone you later as a friend.
Jem and Jess, bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye.
That was Jem Atkins and Jess Knauf from On Fire Comedy down in Durban. They have the Durban Comedy Week, which starts on Saturday and runs the whole week. So if you're in Durban, fight Durban apathy. Or don't.
What is the Durban and all these things of like fire? Like, I keep going back to xenophobia, but like On Fire Comedy.
Yeah,
like,
Durban loves fire. Loves foreign fire. Yeah. So yeah, they're doing great things down there. Just quickly, farewell shows. I'm doing a farewell run of shows around the country, just so you can see me one last time. Not ever. I don't have cancer, depending on what you think of Australia.
That you don't know of.
Yeah, we all have cancer. It's just when it kicks in. But I'll flip and I'll tell Mike. I'll literally tell my cancer to fuck off. And that's my dad. We've never been on medical aid ever, as a family.
But you're on medical aid now.
Though. Yeah, now I am. But because I'm a successful. I'm not. No, I am.
Yeah.
We used to just cure everything by like sleeping for 2 days and orange juice. So that's
and panado.
Yeah, even if you had like a broken leg, you're like,
sleep it off, bro.
Yeah, and then my dad slept off cancer once. So I don't know, because he does not have a healthy life.
Did the racism like overpower the cancer?
He doesn't have cancer.
Racism is like, no, I live here.
Why has racism got a black accent? That's hilarious. And my dad, racism, has an Afrikaans accent. My dad hates Afrikaans people.
Does he? That's interesting.
That's the thing. My dad, like, I don't like it when people call my dad a racist, because he's not. He's a bigot. He hates everything. If I ever wanted to kill my dad, because cancer's not going to do it, I would just show up with a Afrikaans black tranny who likes Tina Turner.
So basically take Dylan Oliphant to the week.
Oh, it's a double roast, Chad.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Dylan, we don't mean it. Not like you're ever going to listen to this anyway, because you don't have a cell phone. I'm joking.
Data's expensive.
So data's expensive. So my farewell shows tomorrow night, Fire and Ice, Melrose Arch.
No, is it?
Yes, tomorrow night, Fire and Ice, Melrose Arch.
Not Pretoria?
Nope, there it is. That is tonight, and I'm not on that gig.
Okay.
That is tonight.
I like how I'm questioning your gig.
There's a lot of Fire and Ices around.
Because you're at the Melrose Arch?
Fire and Ice tomorrow night for a special, a farewell special. Then we have after that next week, the 3rd, I'm in the south, a place called Malachite.
Nice.
That's a smaller venue. I'm there. Then after that, I'm going on to the Cape Town Comedy Club for a week's run.
Lovely, lovely.
From the 8th till the 12th.
You're headlining?
Yeah. No, I'm hosting.
You're hosting?
I'm hosting.
Oh, snap.
Which is
what
fun.
A treat, actually.
And then after that, I have the Durban Farewell, which is on the 15th. That's a big one. It's 500-seater, the DJC.
Nice.
So come see
what
that.
What does that stand for?
Durban Jewish Club.
Okay.
Yeah, they allow me to do comedy in there as long as I don't talk about the man whose name shall not be said. Voldemort. And then finally, final farewell show / party on the 21st of June at Parker's Comedy Club. At home. I call that my home ground.
Nice.
So you definitely got to come out to one of them.
Joe Parker's like your daddy.
Because then, he's not.
Yes, he
like
is.
My grandfather. he's too old to be my dad. He phones me every now and then like, Dusty, how does Facebook work?
You do realize he has kids your age.
He has kids older than me, Farhan. That's what I'm saying.
But he has kids your age as well.
His grandchildren. He's got grandchildren my age. Right. We are the Gas Comedy Podcast. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the show. We are going to talk about it and see what happens.
Succession plan.
I'm not necessarily going to be here in the flesh, but we might be talking about doing some sort of collab stuff from the land down under with all the other white racists.
Yeah.
I don't mean I'm part of them. I mean I'm going to go make fun of them. So please keep listening to the Gas Comedy Podcast and Cliff Central. And remember,
check out gascomedy.co.za. We put it up every Monday, and it has the listings countrywide for the week.
That's right. Nationwide. There's no other listing that does that for stand-up comedy. And please remember, as always, go fuck yourselves.
This is CliffCentral.com.